This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My first series collection is out. The first three books of The Storm Below are gathered in one amazing bundle. When Ari and Shailene are drafted into the Autonomy's Navy, their love is stressed to the breaking. Assassins, dark gods, the demonic stormriders, and all they hold dear. Today, I'm joined by Aaron Hodges. He is the author of the epic fantasy novel Warbringer, Descendants of the Fallen, Book 1.
How are you doing today, Aaron?
Hey, pretty good, thanks.
Awesome. Always like to talk to New Zealand authors. There's quite a few of you guys out there.
Yeah, started to meet a couple on and off over the last couple of years, and sales table with a friend this weekend, actually.
Oh, nice. So, I always like to start these out with a fun question or two. So, are you a cat person or a dog person, Aaron?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I guess I'd say both, but not historically more of a cat person, just simply because I've had more cats.
Fair enough. And what's your favorite food?
My favorite food, I'd probably go with Thai food. Would be some of my favorite. Yellow curry in particular is really good.
Okay. I always kind of preferred more Indian curry myself.
Oh, yeah, Indian curry's good too.
Yeah. So, let's talk about your books. In your book, let's see, I'm the Warbringer. You have a war brewing between the humans and a race called the Tungata, yes?
Yes, that's right, the Tungata. They're kind of like another species of humans, but they're a bit more supernatural, more powerful, and they don't speak.
Okay. And your character, Lucas, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Lucas, he's a young soldier. He's about to be thrown into battle, and he really wants to survive. I think that's something we can all relate to. So why don't you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's a new recruit in the army. He comes from a far-off island kingdom that's kind of been removed from the war for most of the last 10 years since it's an island nation and been safe from these other species of humanity in the Tangata. But okay. They are still part of the alliance, so they still send soldiers every year. And all their life, they've been told that the soldiers they send off are the most honored, the most loved of their people. So when he's chosen, he's pretty excited about that he'll get a chance to win himself a name. But in reality, their society just deems it as a way of getting rid of those of their community that aren't really considered up to living amongst the community. So him and his fellow recruits have basically been sent off to die, essentially, to get rid of them. And everybody, all the other kingdoms kind of know that the Fujians, where they come from, the soldiers they send are kind of useless. So they'll pretty much just ignore them as well and feed them to the dogs when they first arrive. So Lucas is in over his head right from the start and quite disenfranchised because everything he's sort of thought about his people and that is wrong. But he sort of stands up and he thinks there's the choice is either between just going along with things and being dead within a week or a month or going looking for help. So he decides to do the latter.
Okay, and who does he go to look for help from?
So in the first battle, he's saved from one of these creatures by an axeman by the name of Romaine, and they're defending a river that to the south was actually Romaine's kingdom once upon a time, until a few years back when the Tangata completely took over and drove them from their lands. So he's one of the last of his people. And one of the last still fighting, even though his kingdom's fallen, he's still fighting to protect them. He lost his family to the Tangata at the start of the war, and has been basically fighting ever since, so he's not one to make human connections, but in the end, Lucas kind of worms his way into his heart enough to convince him to train him.
Okay. And so what exactly are the Tengadi? So they don't speak?
Yeah, so they're a species of humans that possess superhuman strength and speed and endurance. There's not that many of them, which is the only reason humanity hasn't been overwhelmed. And they have been attacking humanity for years, but eventually in little raids. They used to live far to the south, but eventually humanity got sick of those raids and they decided to attack back, which would end up being a complete disaster and kind of prodding the beast. So now they've been attacking properly at war with humanity the last 10 years.
Okay. Do they like communicate telepathically with each other, or?
Well, as far as humanity is aware, they don't communicate. Their humanity regards them more as beasts than human. But the I'd be telling to talk
no, that's fine, that's fine.
More about them.
Okay. Yeah. So there's another character, the Queen's Archivist. Yes.
Yeah. So that's Erica, the Queen's Archivist, and she's a little bit more distanced from the battle. She's researching the ancient peoples and the ancient gods that used to live amongst humanity in the hope she'll be able to find some artifact or some key that could defeat the Tongata.
Okay. And she's on like a mission underground or something, is that what I read in the blurb?
Yeah, so she's digging into these ancient sites. The series is called Descendants of the Fall because hundreds of years ago, there used to be hundreds of years before, there used to be a sort of utopia, according to legend, where humanity lived alongside the gods. And at one point, humanity betrayed the gods and stole their magic or parts of their magic. And that was actually what created the first Tangata, was this ancient theft where humans attempted to use the powers of the gods. They changed themselves completely and were said to have become monsters and lost their minds and be driven mad by this magic. So she's sort of playing with fire, a lot of people think, by digging into these ancient sites looking for lost magics, but she also recognizes that the Tangata are winning and humanity is getting pretty desperate, so she's looking for anything that might help turn that tide.
Okay. And so are there any other characters that stand out in the story you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, so there's one other character, her name's Kara, and she's actually is also rescued by Romaine at the start of the book. He is leading a scouting party south of the river back into his old lands in the middle of winter, and they discover footprints in the snow when they eventually find the owner. It's this young woman, Kara, and they save her from a pair of Tangata that were stalking her and bring her back to the fortress on the river. And she's a little bit out of place because she has lived in the mountains all her life and is one of the more nomadic of Romaine's people, so she's not used to civilization per se and other people.
Okay.
So she sort of joins along with them as well.
Nice. That sounds like a great combination of characters. So what was the inspiration behind this series?
Well, I've always kind of wanted to do a series that you could say has less focused on magic, but still has that presence of magic there, that like there was wet magic once before and it could be magic again, but it's sort of the basis for it has kind of been corrupted or destroyed, so it's very difficult. And also the having the multiple species at war with one another, I found is quite a fun idea that I wanted to play with.
Okay. So how did you tackle the world building?
I always start with a map. And
awesome. That's where you should start.
it makes it easiest to have something to look at first. And I could sort of built it from, I wanted to have quite a line of where the Tangata were attacking, so it would be simple for Breeze to follow, and sort of just expanded from that central area. And for what if there was an island that was safe from them? How would that society evolve? And what if there was another one beyond the mountains? And just kept going from there.
Okay. Do you ever like put like just parts on the map that you don't know really what's going to be there, but just the fact that it is there might like spark your creativity in some way?
Yeah, so there's, I like to have a very diverse range of environments on my map. So there's a lot of, on the map itself, there's a lot of places that, you know, they're quite likely the characters will never go anywhere near and never visit, but at least it's good to have some form of idea where settlements are and where you think villages and people would settle on your map and for what reasons, whether there's resources there or easy access to a river or the coast and so on.
Yeah, gotcha. And then so do you like do really detailed world building? Like, do you figure out like everything, or do you do like kind of like shallow world building and then just focus on like few spots that are important?
Yeah, I try to have some key focus points for, especially for, say, nationalities and for kingdoms, so that, for instance, I'll make sure I know who the leaders of those kingdoms are and what their main economies are, how they survive, what sort of traditions they have, whether one nation is more, for instance, the islanders are very protective of their forests and nature, whereas the Flumerians have been at war for years and basically do whatever they need to for the war and have a more soldier based culture.
Okay. So are you a plotter or a pantser?
A little bit of both. I like to almost plot, almost pants as I'm plotting. I'll sit down and really have a really detailed imagine of where each character is going in the book and imagine what happens and how they respond to different scenarios and where that would kind of lead them. And then I try and write down that plot and set it out with bullet points how it's going to evolve. And then quite often my characters will actually take things on a bit of a side tour, or quite often there'll be secret plot twists in my books that I'm not quite sure how they're meant to happen, but they will happen. And sometimes I surprise myself with how things turn out and the secrets that I didn't quite realize I'd built into the plot, but which work out pretty well.
Okay. And is this your first book you've written, or you have others, right?
Yeah, no, this is just my latest series. I've written 4 other series at this point, I think. This would be my first series.
So you've been publishing for what, like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years now. I think I published my first book in December 2015.
Awesome. Yeah. So how's it been going? Like, what mistakes have you made and that you wish you hadn't?
Well, I mean, it's no such thing as mistakes, right? No, I mean, I think the biggest times I've struggled is when a series hasn't done particularly well. That's always slowed me down a bit and hit earnings and things. But I think right from the start, when I published my very first book, I had no idea what I was doing. So I had no strategy to capture any readers that I gained, and it did really well, which was lucky. But unfortunately, I lost all the readers because I had no strategy to sign them up to a mailing list or Facebook group or anything that would let me then retouch with them when the second book came out. So that set me back quite a bit. But yeah, other than that, I think I've quite enjoyed every year you learn something new and things change. So you just have to keep changing with the environment.
Okay. So let's see. What advice would you offer new or aspiring writers?
Well, I think my biggest piece of advice to any aspiring writer is finish your book. Finish the first book. That's the single biggest, most daunting challenge for any new writer, is even just finishing that first draft, is to get through the entire book to a point where you can say the end and this is the whole product. that I want to sell. And then personally, I think that's, especially for the first book, is the best way to do it before even editing every chapter 1,000 times. I know how easy it is to get caught up editing a chapter when you never got into the end of the book itself. And then once you've done that, you know you've got a book in you and you can start thinking about other things.
Yeah. Writing your book is important. I think that's very much that. You don't want to, like, listen, if you rewrite, like, every chapter as you go, you're just going to waste a lot of time. Because you might have to fix things once you've written to the end. You go like, well, I forgot something back here. You know, you read these books that come out, from big name authors, and they all seem to be these cohesive manuscripts that all flow together. But that's because they, you know, wrote the book and then they fixed all their problems that they had in their draft.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it doesn't just happen. And you can't know what you have to fix until you have it all written.
No, exactly. And I've removed entire chapters from my books before, but I write my first drafts very rough and fast.
Yeah, I've sometimes had to remove chapters. Usually I have to add stuff. It's usually my problem. At least it used to be. I've gotten better. Like, I've gotten better about seeming to at least if I have to add stuff, it's like a paragraph or a sentence or something. Then my editor goes like, hey, you might need to explain this a little better or whatever. Whereas, like, my old books, my first series, like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, God, it took me forever to get my first book published. But even in this later series, it was quite messy. The last couple of chapters for one of the characters was to try and get their plot to make sense and have a proper reasoning behind everything that was happening. And that meant quite a bit was either removed or reworked 2 or 3 times as I settled on the right way to put it out.
Yeah. The novel I'm writing right now, I realized I had 2 characters that their timelines got apart, and it's like, okay, it's going to take this character 4 days to get back to town, and I need this character to be doing something on the 5th day, but it's too much time to have this character wait around to do that from, like, when they're, like, last left off. So I was like, oh. So I had to, like, I was rearranging chapters. So it's totally against the advice we just gave, but I was just kind of trying to fix this little timeline issue. I wasn't editing anything. I was just, like, rearranging scenes just to kind of get the timeline to work. Because it didn't matter. Like, I could adjust it up what happened to him without affecting the plot, but, like, she was traveling, and I'd already established how many days it took to get up there, and so.
For the last 2 books of the series, I've had 2 sets of characters completely separated in time. Yeah. So I just kind of make sure there's a couple of periods where the time that has passed is kind of fuzzy.
Fair enough. I've been really anal about the dates, right? I'm really tracking the dates and how much time, because it had been easy up until this point, because really all my characters are kind of in the same place.
So once you get down to a couple of days, it's got to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, but it was just like, I was just like, okay, because I need this character to see that my other character doing something, so she had to get back to town. I was like, she's got to hook it back to town. And then I'm like, I just saw how many days it would be the character, like, sitting around waiting to do it. I'm like, okay, that's just too many days. The readers are going to be like, what you doing for, like, 2 weeks, mate, you know? Go do something, you know?
Yeah.
But so it was, you know, once I made that decision, I just had to spend, like, 30 minutes trying to get the timeline straight so I could continue writing the novel.
Yeah, fair enough.
That should be an issue, because they should be sticking together now for the rest of the novel, so.
That's good. Yeah, that makes it so much easier.
It does. I learned that. My first fantasy series, I split up into, like, 5 different storylines, and the characters were moving between them, and it was I had a spreadsheet to have to, like, keep track of the timeline.
Oh, man.
Because I needed to know, like, how long people were spending over here, and because they were just traveling across the world, and so, like, you'd have, like, a couple characters would be together, then one would break off and go join another character's storyline, and, yeah, so yeah, it was... Crazy. Yeah, it taught in. And I couldn't write it, and I had to write it like by arcs, because I found that like if I was skipping around, I couldn't write it chronologically. So I had to write just like one character's like arc where they're doing their thing, and then hit like a stopping point when something would major happen, and then I could write other ones. And so then I had to stitch that novel together. And then I had to do that for the next two novels because they were both in the similar state. It was just like figuring out where scenes would go and.
Yeah, that sounds about like what I've been doing, and I'm looking forward to finally being able to join them back up in the fourth book.
Ah, yeah.
Bring them all together.
Yeah. Well, so what is next for you in your writing career, Aaron?
Well, my latest ventures, I'm looking at more at developing some of my work more into traditional publishers. I've got a Podium is actually directing this audio. Podium Publishing is actually doing the audio for this series, so I'm quite excited to see how that goes. And then I've been searching for agents for my first series, and I've actually had one agent come back with interest, so I've sent her on the synopsis and the manuscript for the first book, and yeah, I'd like to see if there's opportunities there.
Is that a book you have published, or...?
Yeah, so that's a book I've had published for quite a few years, and it's done pretty well. But at this point, the market spread in paperbacks is a hell of a lot less than anything else.
Yeah. So, where can our listeners find you on the internet?
Well, they can find me on my website, aaronhodges.co.nz. It's currently being reworked, but it's still up active, the old one. Or they can find me on Amazon or Goodreads, anywhere really, that they follow their books.
All right. Well, it was great talking with you, Aaron.
Yeah, cheers. It's good having. Good coming.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter at JMDReed. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.